Do you know what day is today?
Sunday.
Sunday, right? How is it related to the Chinese New Year?
Yeah.
It is, let me see, which day is the first day of the Chinese New Year next week? Thursday, right? Thursday? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So this is the fourth day of the Chinese New Year. Okay? And health, wealth, and happiness, that's all that we want, especially for the Chinese New Year. Do you know how people will greet each other during Chinese New Year in Hong Kong and China? Especially in Hong Kong. Kong Hei Fat Choy. Kong Hei Fat Choy. That's the pure Cantonese, okay, pronunciation of that. It's from Cantonese. And people in Hong Kong not only will say Gong Hei Fat Choy, they will also say San Tai Jin Hong, Shen Ti Jian Kang, Nong Ma Jing Zhen. You have good health, okay? Also, that you will Chao Yun Guang Zhen, Cai Yuan Guang Jing. You make a lot of money. More than that, they will also say Siu Hou Shan Hoi, Zhen Ye Zhe Gong Hoi Sun. Always smiling, always happy. Okay? So be happy always, or 万事如意, 满心如意. Everything will be what you expected, what you wanted. That's wonderful, right? But after Chinese New Year, what happens? We often find out that we were just deceiving ourselves. To say that these things will happen to us when we actually face a night in which we often get sick from a simple little flu or cold that can cause a huge suffering. And then some of us might have cancer. And we might struggle with our finances. When we face a future layoff, we might lose our job. We might not have the money to win the bread for the family. And we might incur an unexpected expense that will totally disrupt our financial plans for this year. Suddenly, a car crash. Suddenly, there's some problems with the big house. Huge amount of money will be spent to fix that. Or there will be ups and downs in our emotions when bad things happen to us, like a car accident. For students, a bad grade. You have studied so hard, and yet you do not get the grade you want. Okay? You might get maybe a C or maybe an O, and you'll be totally depressed because of that. Or you might not be able to get into the school you want to go to. Some of you are graduating from high school, okay? But you want to go to that school, okay? It might be Harvard, it might be Princeton, or some other prestigious schools, and yet you're not able to get in there. You feel so upset, like, this is the end of my world, this is the end of my future. Or you might not be able to get the job that you want. Some of you are working on one job while thinking about, that's the job I want. So you continue to, according to Cantonese, you say, you're riding on a cow and you're looking for a horse that's better. Okay? So, but you have gone to many interviews and yet you don't get those jobs, those dream jobs that you have always wanted. Actually, in your job, you're always yelled at by your boss, especially when you make a mistake and you feel so bad that day. Or might be, you might be in a relationship. Some of you are dating, right? I don't need to do a poll. I know some of you are dating, especially those who are already in college. What if you have a breakup with the one you love? You can't guarantee that person will always stay with you, right? Especially in this world, love is so unreliable. Maybe a death of your loved family member. The people want to live in such illusions and to greet each other by saying, I want you to have good health, I want you to make a lot of money and be happy always. That's good wishes. That's why some of the churches promote the prosperity gospel, and that attracts many, many people to the church. What is prosperity gospel? Have you heard of that? Anybody knows what prosperity gospel means? That's good, huh? Actually, that's a very good way to put what prosperity gospel means or what it does. Basically, it says that God is nice. I agree with that. And then you go on to say, you are nice. Don't mention about sin. Everybody is nice, okay? And then be nice, and your nice will be nice, okay? God is nice. You are nice. Be nice, and you'll be nice. You'll live a good life. You'll be wealthy. You'll be happy, and you will be healthy. Everybody wants that. Even the worshippers of the idols want that. That's why many Buddhists, they go to temples, especially during Chinese New Year, to worship the idols in the temple in order to receive the blessing they want. Actually, the more money they offer, they believe the more blessings that they will get. They are bribing the God they believe in. Okay, what kind of God is that? Preachers often will promote the prosperity gospel. But in reality, I see a different picture about life, even for Christians. I see that dedicated and faithful Christians often struggle with poor health, live in a poor life, and are not always happy, according to the non-Christian standards, and they suffer as much as the non-Christians, sometimes more than the non-Christians. I know that because we have been praying in our prayer meeting, and I see these things that we have prayed for the past 4 months and many others, but these are the greater needs. Look at the slides. Nora Getz, Catherine Poe's friend, we have been praying for him since October of 2007. She has lupus, and she had to quit school because of lupus. She needed to receive chemotherapy. And then, Rin Huang's Christian calculus teacher had cancer, Miss Fenton. And that was already the next phase of the cancer. Last time I checked with Irene hasn't gotten back to me. I wanted to know how is Miss Fenton doing. I'll tell you later when I get the answer. And that's in November. And then Jennifer Lin passed away at a very young age on December 7th. It was so saddening because some of us know her. And then Casey's schoolmate Juan Carlos' mom passed away during the December 8th weekend after giving birth to a baby. The baby would be motherless. And then we pray for the family of the two LSU PhD students who were murdered in December of 2007 on the 13th. They were murdered. I believe the family members were devastated. And even the lab mates of the PhD students, they were living in confusion. They were lost. And they were seeking counseling. And Pastor Chen and I actually visited them and talked to them, and they found the teaching in the Bible about sufferings helpful to them. This year, in January, Brother Guang Wenzhou, the professor, the teacher of the two LSU PhD students who were being murdered, his dad passed away. And now he faces an uncertain future. He'll need to move out of Baton Rouge because his project in LSU has ended. He is so dedicated to serving the Lord, and yet he cannot even stay in the university where he wants to continue to teach. He has to look for a teaching job somewhere else. He needs our prayers. Also, Lisa Jin's father just had a serious accident on January 22nd. But thank God, he's recovering now. It could be very, very fatal because one of the vertebrae were cracked. It could have caused a paralysis. And then on January 24th, the 6-year-old daughter of a Korean, of a sister in a Korean church that we actually go for the Asian Christian Fellowship, Mi Hei Park, died in a car accident, only 6 years old. And the mom is still being hospitalized, suffering from the pain both of that of her beloved daughter and also her own injuries. And last week, I received another prayer request. Casey's Chinese school friend, Dolly's father, was in ICU after a serious car accident, and then he passed away. Dolly will be fatherless. And again, I heard that Michelle News' grandpa passed away at the end of January, that's at the end of last month. It was a happy occasion, 80th birthday of the grandma, and then the grandpa had a stroke, and they just passed away after that. It's so saddening. And the grandma, that was her birthday, and yet her most loved, closest person in her life, her husband, passed away on that day. Can you imagine how saddening that would be? She's still very upset. So pray for her. And Brother Ness, his father just passed away during the week of February 1st, 2008. But thank God, his father is a believer in Christ, and we know he's in a better place. See, I'm not sharing with you the bad news from TV or internet news, but about people we know. Some of them are very close to us. In moments like this, we'll often ask God, why? Why do such bad things even happen to us? Most of them will see that they are believers. Our faith in God will be shaken. After the suffering, some people will become depressed. They will lose all motivation about life, and they will develop mental disease and give up their faith in God. Others will become maturer, stronger, and more thankful to God and His blessings in life. How can there be such big differences to react in suffering? It's because they have different value systems about suffering. They have different value systems, or what they believe about suffering makes a big difference on how you will react when you are in suffering. How can we be the matter? How can we become actually maturer, stronger in our faith, even in suffering, and become a more thankful Christian to God, even after a suffering? That's what we'll look at today, from Job's bad experiences. I think this is more practical than saying, I wish you good health, make a lot of money, and be happy always. Because life is not like that. Life, you will always face suffering. If I can share with you God's word about how you can face suffering and still stand strong in your faith, and even be thankful, and even praise God, give thanks to God in such occasions, I think you are really blessed, because nothing can shake you. First, who is Job? Who is Job? I used to read that as Job, but it's Job, okay? Not Job, not like what you do at your job. It's Job, that's the name of the person that we will look at. He had some horrible experiences that we will see later. Let me now be Job. Hi, my name is Job. Have you ever had a bad day? I sure did, and I will tell you what happened. I loved God very much. I tried to do everything that God wanted me to do. I had a good night, I had a nice home, a big family, and a lot of nice things. I had it all. Everybody was envious of me. Okay? Job was the best man you can find on earth. He was blameless and upright, as you will see. Blameless and upright. You cannot find fault in him. He followed God wholeheartedly. He did everything right, because he feared God and he ran away from evil.
He fears God and he shuns evil.
Job was the best father you can find on planet Earth. He provided all his children's physical needs, everything that they needed, including, letting them to have parties all the time. Okay, they have the best provisions for their physical needs. But he also cared for their spiritual needs. Actually, he cared more for their spiritual needs than physical needs. He would make sure that they were purified before God. After those parties, he was afraid that his sons and daughters would sin against God in the parties. Have you ever been a party? People would go all crazy and they would sin against God. And Job had the same worry for his sons and daughters. And he would pray for them and he would offer sacrifice for them for forgiveness of their sins.
Sixth
graders? It's in the main building of the church on the first. Sixth graders, Sunday school, right? Okay, I hope you're fine with that. And Job was also the best friend and neighbor you can have. According to Job chapter 31, same book, verse 5 to verse 40, he loved people true-heartedly as he loved himself. That's God's command for every one of us. He didn't show favoritism to people. He was not greedy. And he didn't boast about how wealthy, how blessed I am. He was very low-key, although he was so blessed. And he always helped people in need. I think you want someone like Job to continue to prosper and to be blessed, because when that person is blessed, you will be blessed as his neighbor. You don't want anything bad to happen to such a nice, almost perfect person. But the reality is that bad things even happen to good people. Bad things even happen to good people. Even godly people like Job. It's a lie to say that if you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal savior, you'll become healthy, wealthy, and happy. Many people are attracted to churches that says that, as I mentioned, God is nice, you are nice, be nice, and everything will be nice. But that's not the Bible says. The Bible tells us that bad things can also happen to good people, even someone like Job. Today I will examine what happened to Job, and also, how can Job even praise God in the most horrible sufferings? Next time in March, because we'll have Brother Billy speak next time, and we'll have John worship service on the last Sunday of this month. The first Sunday of March, I'll tell you more about why do people suffer, and how do we treat people who are in suffering. But this time, we put ourselves into Job's shoes. Imagine that we are like Job, we are suffering. How can we even praise God when we're in suffering? So, what happened to Job? Let me be Job again. Everything was happening everything was so well, going on so well. Everything was fine. I was so blessed. And I feared God. I worshiped God. But one day, everything changed. A messenger came to me. And the messenger said, the oxen were plowing and donkeys feeding beside them. The man said, but the Sabians attacked them and took them away. They have killed the servants with their swords, and I am the only one who have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came to me and said, lightning from heaven struck the sheep and the servants and killed them all, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you. And before he finished talking, another man came to me. It happens one after another. And he said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, and all your camels were stolen, and they killed the servants with their sword. They are all dead. I'm the only one who have survived this. Hey, you say losing animals, that's not really a tragedy, okay? It might not be a big thing to you, but it was a big thing to me, because all my wealth was in the animals. Do you know how many animals I had? Let me go back and you see how many animals he had, okay? He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, that's 500, that's 1,000 oxen, 500 donkeys, a large number of servants to help, to keep, and to manage, you know, such like a big business. But he lost all those. Even now, that's a lot of money, okay? Okay. But it's a tragedy for me, a huge tragedy. It's like someone stole your money. It's like someone who go to your big house. Suppose you are a millionaire. That's dream. Now, you're a millionaire, you work so hard, and it's time to go for a vacation. So you went out for vacation, you have servants at home. The servants would keep the house clean and tidy. It was night, some burglars just broke in. The servants were sleeping. What did the burglars took? The burglars knew what was valuable. They took the jewelry. They took the expensive furniture. They also took the appliances that are really expensive, like a 60-inch plasma TV. Probably cost about $10,000, right? And then your laptop computers, and then your Xbox, and then your PlayStation 3 and Wii. Okay? That's a horrible thing to happen, right? And more than that, those burglars were really, really smart. They were able to find out my bank account information, your bank account information, and then also found your personal information and were able to transfer all the money in your bank accounts to their bank accounts. Have you seen the Ocean's 11, 12, and 13?
Oh, yeah.
Probably they're not there, but worse, because they saw the servants who were waking up in the middle of the night, because the burglars were making so much noise, and then they killed your servants violently. When you go back home from vacation, you'll be so shocked. Blood in the house, and you have lost all the valuable things that you think means so much to you. See, I'm Job. I lost all my money and property and helpers on the same day. That's a huge loss to me. More than that, while the messenger was still speaking the same day, okay, another messenger came to me and said, your sons and daughters were eating and partying in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a tornado struck the house, and the house fell, and the house killed all your 10 children. Job had 10 children. It's like one-fifth of you know, people here. But it is a great blessing to have 10 children. He had 7 sons. 7 is a complete or perfect number, a blessed number in Jewish culture. And he had 3 daughters. 3 is another complete, blessed, perfect number in Jewish culture. And 10 is another blessed number. 7 plus 3, 10. Wow, Job was so blessed to have 7 sons, 3 daughters, 10 children in total. But in one day, they were all killed. Those who are already parents, you understand how hurtful that would be. If you are not a parent yet, think about when you just get hurt in a sport, in a competition, and your parents will be so upset to see you hurt. But having 10 kids die on one single day, that's too much. How would you react if you were Job? How would you react to this if you were Job? I think typically most people in such a tragic situation will react in the following steps. First, unbelief. You got to be kidding me. How can all these things happen in one single day? You just heard the messenger say it, but you don't believe it. That's not true. This is not Fool's Day. Why are you fooling me? I don't believe it. Denial. This can't be true. Finally, you deny. You know the messenger did not lie to you. But you deny it. This can't be true. This must be a nightmare. I had those nightmares in that I even killed people. And then I woke up. I was so happy. Oh, thank God I didn't kill anybody because I practiced Taekwondo. You know? So, you know, it can be so scary. Some dreams are so real. And you are so happy that it's only a dream. What if this is the reality? You often will try to deny it when something so tragic happens. Denial is the second step. And then later on, you finally will accept that and start grieving, feeling really sad. Oh, this truly happened. If you're a woman, you'll be screaming, you'll be crying until your eyes can produce no more tears. Some people will say you'll cry your eyes out. If you are a man, you probably will not cry because men are trained not to cry often or easily. But you probably will be sitting on the ground or sitting on your couch totally shocked. And the images after images of all the good things you have lost go through your mind. But all these can only be found in my memories. And then you'll be so angry. You'll be yelling, you'll be cussing, you'll be hitting the wall so mad you try to break things around you. That's what guys do, okay, when they are angry, if you don't know that, okay? Especially someone who knows Taekwondo, okay? Until I break my bone in great pain, I realize that this is real. But that's how a guy which usually express themselves when they are in such shock, such anger, and such a suffering. And then later on, you will shut down yourself, you will change your faith in God. God, I'll trust you no more. What difference does it make anyway now? I trusted you because I thought you would bless me in turn. Now I'm cursed. Why do I trust you anymore? Because I expected you to bless me. If you don't bless me, sorry, I'm not going to trust you anymore. That's most people's reaction. How they trust God, why they trust God is because of the blessings usually on earth. That's why it's so harmful to believe in the wrong gospel, prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel has the wrong understanding about suffering. But I'm going to teach you how we should react to even the most horrible sufferings in life by looking at how Job reacted to the most horrible sufferings. Job again, I was sad, so sad. I tore my clothes and I shaved my head. That's how people in Jewish culture express that they were so sad, so upset. And then I fell to the ground and then I worshiped God. I praised God. And I said to myself, I was born naked with no clothes. That's why I tear my clothes. No clothes when I was born. No clothes when I die. And I would die naked with nothing. When I was born, I had no hair, so shaving my head would symbolize that I'm back to the state when I was first born. The Lord owned everything, including my property, my money, and children. I didn't own them. You think everything that you have now, you own them? Job knew that better. You don't own any of those things that you have now, including your clothes, your job, everything you have, your car, your house. Job understood that he borrowed them from God for free. God lends all these good things to Job and to us for free. So, what's wrong if God takes that away? Okay, it's God. God gave that to you for free, lent that to you, but God would take that away. Even if you think, okay, I will not lose all those things in my life, but when you die, have you seen anyone in the coffin being able to bring everything that they have? Big house, cars, everything? No. But it's amazing that Job could still say, "Praise be the name of the Lord." And he said, he did not sin, even in suffering like this. He did not blame God for what he lost. That's amazing. How could Job worship and praise God even in the midst of such horrible, horrible suffering? And how can we do the same? Suffering would happen to you. I'm very sure it will happen to you. I'm not lying to you, and I don't want to deceive you to tell you that your life will be wealthy, you will be happy, and you will be you have everything that you have ever wanted materially. But life will have sufferings. When it happens, how can we act like Job did, even praise God in those moments? How could Job worship and praise God even in the midst of such horrible, horrible suffering? And how can we do the same? According to Job, chapter 1, verse 1, it says that Job was blameless and upright, feared God, and shunned evil. And chapter 23, verse 11 says that, "My feet have closely followed God's steps. I have kept to God's way without turning aside. I have not departed from the commands of God's lips from God. I have treasured the words of God's mouth from God more than my daily bread." Have you been receiving daily bread from the English ministry? Yes, daily bread. But those are spiritual daily bread we need. I believe the reason why Job could even praise God in such horrible suffering was that he was prepared by God for such horrible, horrible sufferings. Job had strong faith, love, and hope in God even before the suffering, which helped him through the most painful sufferings. That's why we need to build stronger faith, love, and hope in God before the suffering comes to us. Cherish the daily bread for your spirit more than the daily bread for your body. And that's why we send daily bread to you. I believe Christians cannot just nip a knife that's pleasing to God by just coming to Sunday worship once a week. We need daily bread from God every day. That's why we send that to each one of you. In the daily bread, I actually was sent to another, more than 100 of my friends in Chinese, simplified Chinese, traditional Chinese, and English. And I will listen to a recording. If you receive that email, there's a link to download. And a professional, like a DJ, Christian, would read that with some music on the background. It really helps you to focus on God. I'll listen to that first. And then I read that now, first in Cantonese, and then in Mandarin, and then in English. So I have mentally or orally read through that four times. And then there will be a passage for me to go to read further God's word that's related to that daily bread article. And then I'll pray to God and ask God to help me to build my values on God's word. So that when sufferings like this happens, I would be more prepared. I probably can even praise God if I continually trust God every day. How could Job worship and praise God even in the midst of such horrible suffering? The second thing that I saw It's according to Job chapter 1 verse 20. He says that, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Job believed that he was born naked and with nothing, and he would die naked and with nothing. The Lord owned everything, including his property, money, and children. Job didn't own any of those. Job borrowed everything from God for free. It was fair to return everything to God that belonged to God. He already gained for the time he enjoyed what God lent him for free. He didn't lose anything because he never owned those things. If you can have that mentality, you will never feel a loss when there is a loss in your life. That's why we too should have the right perspective about life by continually reminding ourselves that we were born all naked, with nothing, and we will all die naked with nothing. Either whether you're wealthy or poor, when you're lying in the coffin, either it's a gold coffin or a wood coffin, it doesn't make any difference at all. We need to have the right perspective about life, the same perspective that Job had about life. Whenever I board a plane, I'm prepared to die. That's why I'm so thankful every time that the plane can land safely. I'll give thanks to God, because God has given me another chance to live life, and I'll pray to God, God, let me live this life better than the one that was before the flight. I already wrote my will, and I'll put my will on a CD, okay? When I am with the Lord, I want someone in the funeral or memorial service to say what I wanted to say to all the people who will be attending the funeral or the memorial service. Just the first paragraph, I said, if I were to be with the Lord today, I would have no regrets about my life. All I have are words of thanksgiving to the Lord, who guided me to Him even before I knew His name, back in a very small city in mainland China. He then guided me to Hong Kong and finally to the United States, where I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and my Lord on March 16, 1997. I know exactly on which day I became a Christian, because that was my birthday too. It was in Oakland Chinese Independent Baptist Church. The years after that were reflections of the Lord's grace every day. It's 8-page will, okay? I talk about what I have learned from the Bible. I wanted to share the gospel with people through that occasion too, according to Ecclesiastes by King Solomon. Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, why the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh or near, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. While you're still young, remember God in your life. And then, for those who have not accepted Jesus Christ, I'll share with them the gospel. I'm planning to actually record a video, so I will speak in my own funeral. So it will be a time to bless, to celebrate the blessings that God has given me in my life, not a time to cry, if you have the right perspective about what will happen after your physical death. I advise you to also write your own will. Have this perspective. What if today is the last day of my life? What if I cannot live after today? In my funeral, what would I want to tell people about me that would glorify God? The third reason why Job could even praise God in the midst of a horrible suffering was according to Job chapter 19 verse 25. It says that, I know that my Redeemer lives, God lives, and that in the end He will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, after I've died, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. He actually decides to be on that day that his physical body will perish, but spiritually he will be with God. Job knew that God was an eternal God, and the death of believers is not the end, but a better beginning with God. Our God is an eternal God. If I die physically as a believer of Jesus Christ, I will start a perfect life with God and those who believe in God but has already died. Wake up. This place here is not where we want to stay eternally. Every day it's getting worse. Maybe materially you have more games to play, but there's so much evil now, more and more evil in this world. I certainly don't want to live in this body that's getting older and older every day. One day I will not be able to even walk. Do you want to just lie in bed for eternity? No. That's why this is not where we want to stay forever. But God will give us a resurrected body. The body that Jesus Christ has, that would be the coolest body to have. Because with that body, you will never get old. You probably look the most beautiful, you know, maybe when you are 18 or, you know, around 18 years old. You will be able to walk through walls. You know, when I run into that wall, I'll be able to just run through it and not get hurt. Because Jesus Christ was able to just go into a room that was locked. When the disciples were talking about, did Jesus Christ, was Jesus Christ really resurrected? Some women were talking about Jesus Christ was resurrected, but women's witness were not well trusted in that society, okay? And then Jesus Christ suddenly appeared, okay? I would have that body. That's the body I want. And I'll be able to fly. I always dream, in my dreams, I sometimes actually dream about flying. I just flap my arms and I was flying. I would be able to fly with a resurrected body. I'll be able to walk on water like Jesus did, and I'll be able to do all kinds of cool stunts that I can only dream about now. I saw Jason doing breakdance, that was cool, but I believe I can do cooler, you know, moves than you did when I have the resurrected body. Do you believe that? Yeah. I will see Jesus, and I will see Jesus' apostles, and they will explain to me everything that I don't understand in the Bible now. While I'm teaching from the Bible, I don't understand everything in the Bible. I will see Noah, I will see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and Joshua, David, King Solomon. He taught me so much about wisdom in life, and many other prophets in the Old Testament. I'll be able to meet with them and talk to them. I will see Samson. I do weight training. I want to know who is stronger when I have the resurrected body. And I want to know how long his hair actually is. That would be cool. I will also see my dad, who passed away 6 years ago. I also see Ned's dad, who just passed away. I'm sure I see him. I've never met him before. The point I'm making is, it's not that bad to die physically and then to be with the Lord eternally. But the reason that I'm still living today, instead of committing suicide, that God forbids, because if you think, see, I'm a believer, I'm going to heaven, life here really sucks, so much suffering, let me commit suicide and then be with the Lord, right? But God does not want us to commit suicide, because we are created in the image of God. Even killing ourselves, okay, it's an insult to God's creation. So we will not commit suicide, but instead, I will take every opportunity I have now in this temporary earthly life to prepare myself for future eternal heavenly life with God. That life is better. This life is not that good, but with God's presence in my life, I can still live a good life even in suffering. Even praise God in suffering. Bless you. In the future, you will no longer get sick. I guarantee you. Finally, according to Job chapter 23 verse 10, the fourth reason why Job could even praise God in the midst of the horrible, most horrible sufferings is that, according to Job, he said, God knows the way that I take. When God has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Gold, it takes heat, fire, to refine, purify gold. God would test us with sufferings to make us purified in our faith, stronger in our faith, and mature as Christians. Job understood that. That's why he could even praise God in suffering. I think we should remind ourselves about that too. Suffering is just a test, and the purpose is to make godly people mature and stronger. Life now is a preparation for life eternal with God, and God often allows suffering in our lives to make us mature and stronger. Let me close by sharing a short story. David is a 2-year-old boy with leukemia. And his mom, Deborah, took him to Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. Dr. John Truman was the doctor. And according to Dr. Truman's prognosis or medical opinion, there's only a 50-50 chance of survival. So the mom took David to countless clinic visits, blood tests, IV drugs, going through also the fear and the pain. The mom was also suffering because the mom had to be with the son all the time, going through the same thing, maybe not physically, but emotionally, psychologically. But David never cried in the waiting room. Although his so-called friends would often hurt him and would stick needles into his body that would cause pain, David would often hurry, run really fast in front of his mom, and then go into the waiting room, and then to nudge those people to work on him. And then later on, David had to have a spinal tap. Leukemia patients will receive a treatment called spinal tap. It is a painful procedure for all ages. But it was explained to him that because he was sick, and Dr. Truman had to do something to make him better. If it hurts, the mom says, if it hurts, remember it's because he loves you. Dr. Truman loves you. That's why he's going to treat you, but it's going to cause pain. The procedure was really dreadful. It took three nurses to hold David still, although he was only a 3-year-old now. And while he yelled and sobbed and struggled, when it was almost over, the tiny boy, soaked in sweat and tears all over his body and face, he looked up at the doctor and gasped, "Thank you, Dr. Truman, for my hurting. Because although I'm hurting, I know it's for my good, because you love me." If you have the correct biblical understanding of suffering and faith in God, you can still say, "Thank you, God, for my hurting, for my suffering." Let's pray. Oh dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that through Job's example, you have taught us that we can even praise you in sufferings. And we have seen that we can even benefit from sufferings. God, help us. Let us not fear sufferings, but let us, when sufferings come, we embrace it by your power and that we benefit from that. But before it comes, let us prepare our heart by being close to you to learn the right perspective and get the strength from you to face suffering in our life. And let us be stronger. Let us be mature in our faith through whatever will happen in our life, because we know God is in control. God will bring the good out of even the most horrible sufferings. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.